to a place where I first saw the light. To the sweet sunny star, take me home, where the mocking birds sing me to sleep every night. Oh, why was I tempted to roam?
Charles Cleveland, Charlie Poole, embodied the wild and reckless spirit of the 1920s. Known as a rambler and a rounder, banjo player, singer, and bandleader, Poole was a popular recording star from 1925 to 1931 with his group, the North Carolina Ramblers. Poole made notable and influential recordings like Don't Let Your Deal Go Down Blues, White House Blues, If I Lose I Don't Care, and Sweet Sunny South, and many other songs and tunes. Though few today play in his banjo style, Poole's three-finger picking technique was influential amongst the next generation of banjo players who developed the bluegrass style. Welcome to Dead Wax 78s. I'm your host, Sean, and, you know, we're going to talk about all of these old-time talented banjo and singers. And Poole was born near the mill town of Franklinville, North Carolina. He was the son of John Philip Poole and Elizabeth Johnson. In 1918, he moved to the town of Spray. He had learned banjo as a youth, and Charlie had a rough and tumble early life that foreshadowed his later years. While a child in the cotton mill village, Poole worked at the mill and enjoyed playing banjo and baseball. Now, he played baseball, and his three-fingered banjo technique was the result of an accident. Whilst betting that he could catch a baseball without a glove, he did, but the ball broke his thumb as he closed his hands too soon, resulting in a permanent arch in his right hand. He also acquired a reputation for brawling and had several encounters with local police. At the age of 19, Poole met and married 17-year-old Maud Gibson. But the settled life didn't suit Poole. He was a rambling around Canada with other hobos when Maud gave birth to their son, James Clay. Some months later, the couple divorced. He then moved to Eden, the town today claims to be his birthplace. During this time and even later in life, Poole disappeared frequently for weeks at a time. In between occasional nights in jail and playing his banjo, Poole found time to distill whiskey. Poole bought his first banjo, an Orpheum No. 3 Special, with profits from making moonshine. Later, he appeared in a 1929 catalog of the Gibson Company, promoting their banjo. But he still spent much of his adult life working in the textile mill. Here's side one, Don't Let Your Deal Go Down Blues.
I played cards with the king and the queen. It's hard ace and a ten. Boys, don't let your deal go down. Let your deal go down. Let your deal go down. Buy my last gold dollar home. Red U.S. so far. Got my shoes from a railroad man and my dress from my driver in the mine. Boys, don't let your deal go down. teeth, bones and glue my hands. He can kiss my little white teeth till you come back again. Boys, don't let your teeth go down. Let your teeth go down. Let your teeth go down. From a left to dollar phone.
Loved playing the banjo, and soon he was rambling around the country, busking with that banjo. During one of his trips, he met a fiddler named Posey Rohrer, and the two began playing music together. Around 1920, Poole and Rohrer moved to Spray, North Carolina in Rockingham County, where Charlie married Posey's older sister. They formed a trio with guitarist Norman Woodleaf, and they called themselves the North Carolina Ramblers. The men continued to play music together, and they won many top prizes at Fiddler's Convention around the region. In 1925, they had the opportunity to make a recording for Frank Walker, an A&R man from Columbia. They recorded Don't Let Your Deal Go Down Blues. Now, at the time, a successful country recording might be expected to sell 5,000 or 10,000 copies. This song sold over 106,000 copies at the time, when there were estimated to be only about 6,000 phonographs in the southern United States. According to the Pool's biography, the band was paid $75 for that session. Poole's professional music career started with a boom. His singles did remarkably well. Unfortunately for Poole, he did not receive any of those royalties. Now, Charlie Poole used his banjo as a loud front instrument instead of just providing a background sound. He was the forerunner, through no choice of his own, of the Scruggs three-finger style, though Poole used a three-finger style, it was more closely related to an earlier minstrel banjo style, also called mountain style. Then to the later, of course, we know bluegrass style. Poole fingered chords rather than melody with his left hand while playing three-finger rolls or sequences with his right. For the next 5 years, Poole and the Ramblers were a popular band. The band's sound remained consistent, although several members came and left, including Posey Rohrer and Norm Woodleaf. The band recorded over 60 songs for Columbia Records during the 1920s, including, like I said, Sweet Sunny South, White House Blues, He Rambled, and Take a Drink on Me. Former railroad engineer Roy Harvey was one of the guitarists. Fiddlers in various recording sessions were, of course, Posey Rohrer, Lonnie Austin, and Odell Smith. Here's side two, Take a Drink on Me.
Oh, Lord, honey, take a drink on me.
see. Oh, Lord, honey, get me home. Take a dig on me, take a dig on me. All you round, take a dig on me. Oh, Lord, honey, take a dig on me. You see that gal with all the cold, she couldn't let me show you all.
Sometimes, Poole's voice was hoarse from a recent drinking binge, so Frank Walker, the A&R man, asked what might improve his voice, and Poole told him, a lemons and whiskey. Well, Walker sent an employee out to get a lemon and a pint of whiskey, and Poole replied, make that a dozen lemons and a gallon of liquor. Walker always kept moonshine on hand to help his performers get over the nerves of performing. Poole reportedly was so drunk at some sessions that he could barely stand up. And no wonder many people have trouble understanding his garbled lyrics. At Roy Harvey's last session for Columbia in 1931, a 50-gallon barrel of moonshine was brought into the hotel for the musicians, and the recording director specifically told them to take a drink before recording. They probably still do that somewhere. Despite Poole's drinking, he would not tolerate any unprofessional behavior by his bandmates. Charlie always had a bag of jokes or stories he told between tunes, or if anyone broke a string. One highlight of his show was his dancing. He could dance a buck a wing or a waltz clog. Charlie was very athletic and sometimes did cartwheels across the stage. Charlie's favorite stunt was running across the stage and leaping over a chair and landing on his hands and doing a clogging dance with them. Funny what moonshine will do for you. While Poole rambled across the southeast playing his banjo, Columbia Records tried to locate him to record a second time. Now, this time, Poole made sure he received his royalties. On the market, his releases performed as well as his first one, and the Randolph County native was described as the best-known banjo picker and singer in the Carolinas. After his second recording, Poole and the North Carolina Ramblers experienced stardom. By his third recording, Poole had competition from similar sounding groups, and his instrumental recordings sold only moderately well, although his vocals sold better. His instrumental recordings and unique banjo style had more influence on bluegrass. Here's side three. If I lose, I don't care. Columbia, 1927.
Just getting back from the state of old New York one morning before day. Flossie, oh Flossie, now what is the matter? Walked all the way from old San Sonata one morning before day. If I lose, let me lose. I don't care how much I lose. If I lose $100 while I'm trying to win a dime for my baby, she gets money all the time. The blood was running and I was running too. Give my feet some exercise, I got nothing else to do one morning. This whole day. If I lose, let me lose. I don't care how much I lose. If I lose $100 while I'm trying to win a dime, for my baby she gets money all the time. The pig was so greasy and the meat was so fat. Boys was fighting the Spaniards while I was fighting that. One morning, day for day, if I lose, let me lose. I don't care how much I lose. If I lose $100 while I'm trying to win a dime, for my baby she keeps money all the time. See them girls sitting at the tank, ready to catch the freight train. They call old Nancy Hank. One morning, day for day, if I lose, let me lose. I don't care how much I lose. If I lose $100 while I'm trying to win a dime, for my baby she keeps money all the time.
Old Charlie Poole epitomized the hard-drinking, rambling, rowdy lifestyle portrayed by the songs of early country musicians. He recorded a scant 5 years before alcohol abuse took his life in 1931, much like it would Hank Williams' life in 1953. Charlie and his North Carolina Ramblers were one of the first string bands in the early country music to become popular. Poole's image as a hard-drinking rambler brought him fame, a fame that led to an early grave. They were playing in a roadhouse in Virginia when it was raided by the police. Instead of fleeing out the back door, Poole decided to take on the lawmen and hit him over the head with his banjo while beating another with Rohrer's walking stick. Poole met his match when he tried to wrestle a policeman for his pistol, and when the gun went off, Poole tasted lead in his mouth. Charlie had powder burns on his face and his front tooth was chipped by a bullet, but he managed to fight the police and escape with Posey in cousin Walter Massey's car. After things settled down, Poole turned himself in and later stood trial. The judge asked him if he couldn't use a good lawyer. No, replied Poole, but I could use some good witnesses. Poole was fined $100. This is just one of the many antics that filled the short life Poole lived, and his bad boy image didn't hurt his chance at a second marriage when he married Posey Rohrer's sister, Lou Emma, who was 10 years older than him. Although he came from the heart of Appalachia, Poole did not want to be typecast as a hillbilly, so he chose to don a fine suit and bow ties, but his hell-raising drinking sessions would take the shine off of his clean-cut suit-wearing image he tried and failed to concoct on stage. Poole continued to travel and play concerts across the eastern United States. He and his band used pseudonyms to avoid copyright infringement with Columbia Records. Poole's concerts were known not only for the music, but also for his cartwheels and his jokes in between songs. Poole's drinking habits, however, started to damage his musical career and his relationship with fellow band members. Money was spent as soon as it was received, and some band members did not receive their part of the royalties because Poole had cashed and squandered it all. Poole was sent royalty checks from Columbia to give to Rohrer, and when Poole got the checks, he went on a drinking spree and spent the money. Rohrer confronted Poole, who was too ashamed to admit the guilt. Later, Rohrer checked with Columbia and found out the truth. They argued. That was a bitter argument that ensued between those men, and they became enemies. Here's side four. He rambled. ¶¶
his three grown sons, Buster, Bill, and I. Buster was a black sheep, our little family. Mother tried to break him of his rough and rowdy ways. Finally had to get the judge to give him 90 days. And didn't he ramble, ramble, ramble all around, in and out the town. And didn't he ramble, ramble, he rambled till the butchers cut him down. On the green, the gamblers there showed him a trick that he had never seen. He lost it rolling jewelry, and Lexa lost his life. He lost the car that carried him there, and somebody stole his wife. And didn't he ramble, ramble, he rambled all around, in and out the town. And didn't he ramble, ramble, he rambled till the butchers cut him down. Appetite was stout, and when he refused to pay the bill, the landlord kicked him out. He reached and breaked to smack him with, and when he went to stop, the landlord kicked him over the fence right in the barrel of slop. And didn't he ramble, ramble, he rambled all around, in and out the town. And didn't he ramble, ramble, he rambled till the butchers cut him down.
When the Depression hit on October 1929, Poole kept recording, but his sales had drastically slipped. He recorded two sessions with Columbia in 1930, but sales of his last release dropped below 1,000 units. Poole's drinking was becoming an ever-increasing problem. Poole was asked to play music in a film and was given the money by the film studio to purchase a train ticket to L.A., but he never did get to Hollywood. Poole took the train money and he spent it on 6 weeks of hard boozing and partying. Poole's epic bender would result in the loss of his life. He died after a heart attack due to alcohol poisoning on the morning of May 21, 1931. Poole was at his sister's house when he declared, "Old Charles has been drunk a lot of times, but this time, old Charles is going to kick the bucket." Later that day, his heart gave in from a wildly excessive lifestyle he had been living, and the 39-year-old Poole collapsed and died on his sister's front porch. According to some reports, he had been disheartened by the slump in record sales due to the Depression. Years of hard drinking had finally caught up with Charlie Poole. Charles was buried in Woodlawn Cemetery in Spray, Rockingham County, North Carolina, and he lay there in an unmarked grave until a man from Ireland decided to give the bluegrass legend a grave marker in 1966. Donations were collected and a fine granite headstone was erected over both Poole's and Rohrer's graves, with a banjo engraved on the stone and a small picture of Poole. Charlie Poole was the original bad boy star whose life burst to the rim with stories of crazy antics and drinking sessions that lasted from weeks to months at a time. But he still managed to make great music and set the standard for future country and bluegrass artists to live up to. the music part, hopefully, not the drinking part. Eden, North Carolina, hosts a festival every year to honor the country musician, the annual Charlie Poole Music Festival. Thank you for listening. I'm Sean. This is Dead Wax 78s. And wow, what a cliche life. And you know what? Talk about cliches. I'm going to catch you on the flip side.